11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Ian Bennett. Ian, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Honestly, thank you for having me, man. And it's a good morning, man.
Yeah. Appreciate you coming on. Let's just go back in time a little bit. What's your first memory of playing soccer?
Yeah, I think it was like when I was six, man. Little kid in Hamilton from Canada, just balling out, scoring goals, dribbling people pretty fast. And people were telling me, this kid's pretty good, right? So, but you never know. You're just young and you just want to have fun and just play.
Yeah, for sure. And then, what was it like just growing up in Canada?
Yeah, man, Canada, man. Hamilton, Ontario, steel town. Just real blue collar, hardworking people. Obviously, I get that from my dad and my parents all live there still. And it's just a grind city. It's a beautiful city. But obviously it's always going to be home to me. So I love it regardless. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And then, just like coming out of high school, like what was your recruiting process like?
Yeah, it was actually crazy, man. It was kind of crazy. So, man, for all the youngsters, they better listen up. So honestly, soccer was not an issue. You know, obviously I was a little undersized. I was pretty short. I still am short. I'm like 5'7", but I'm a beast though. I'm a beast. You know, I filled out, but no, the process was crazy, man. So I was getting a lot of looks, but I'm not gonna lie to you, my grades weren't up to par, man. Because I was at that time, I was playing football and soccer, basically playing football in the it was fall and winter, and then obviously spring summer was soccer. That's how we do it in Canada. It's kind of smart, actually, how we do it in Canada. But I was just driven with sports, man. I loved it. And my academics, man, took kind of a back seat. And then I didn't have the grades to kind of get into like some of these D1 schools that were looking at me, man. So then I was like, okay, what do I do, right? Do I go to a JUCO for a year or 2 years and then go D1? Or do I go? So Marion approached me, Marion University, NAIA school. I think at the time you only needed a 17 to get in. And I'm telling you real facts. So I needed 17. Guess what I got? Got a 17. I got a 17 to get it. So I got that. But honestly, from there, then I started to focus, right? I matured a little bit. And then they gave me a chance. And then obviously I tore it up there. I'm doing good in school. Then a couple D1 schools approached me. So it was like Butler at the time. And then IUPUI. So the biggest thing is, so that was going through my sophomore year. Basically, they were like, if you come to this school, we'll give you a full ride for 2 years. But if you need to graduate like a fourth and a half, fifth year, you have to pay for it, right? Marin was paying everything until it took me to graduate, right? So even if it took me like, say, 5 years, 7 years, right? So basically, I wanted to get my degree. And that was the whole thing. I was like, you know what? I'll stay there. I know it'll be tougher to get through the ranks to obviously go like to Europe and MLS. But I was like, you know what? I need to get that degree. Anything could happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. Coming from Canada, because like I'm from America. So what was the goal always like to go to a American college? And like, what is there other paths like in Canada to go to a Canadian college to go like pro afterwards?
Yeah. So it's different now. So obviously we got more European based. So kids were trying to leave. Oh my gosh. When they were 16, 17 to go pro in Europe. And then basically if that didn't work, if you didn't sign there, then you kind of go the school route, right? So it was kind of a little different. So like our parents were kind of more a little gung-ho. If they're like, yeah, if you're good enough, let's push you through at an early age. And then if you're not, then we'll go the school route and then we'll go like kind of the American road and then go from there.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. A little different. And then what about, like, I guess either in high school or college, maybe like when did you know you were like a little better than the rest? And like, when did you know you could be like a pro player?
It was kind of crazy. So for being undersized, so obviously not even getting to a national camp, obviously I play on the futsal team, a national team, beach, all that good stuff. But I was undersized, man. I'm not gonna lie. And I had asthma. So it was kind of crazy. But like at that time, obviously they wanted big players, you know, that was the image back then. But honestly, I outworked everybody. And I think that's what kind of set me apart from everybody. I was like, you know what? I got this like dog mentality. I got this, I'm built different. I believe in myself. So it was kind of crazy. I was like, you know what? I'll outwork you. And then eventually you're going to quit and I'm going to keep working and I'm going to keep going. So that was kind of my whole mentality and everything, you know? And that's what I think has taken me so far in the sport of soccer. And then noticing being a pro, I mean, honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you. I wanted to be a pro since I was six, right? So it wasn't a thing where if I knew I wasn't going to be there, if I was good enough or not good enough, it was just more like, I'm going to put this on me and I'm going to go hard as I can, you know? So it was kind of more that mentality instead of saying like, did I know, was I not? Like, so was it kind of a time where I was like doubted myself? It was just like, how do I get to these goals? How do I get there? And I kind of just did it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. No. And since like now interviewing like over 80 soccer players, it's like they're obviously everyone has a different story, but it's like it's funny to hear like what like when they thought they were, or like even like some guys just like were like, oh, I was just trying to get a scholarship and then that I would have been done and then they become pro, like stuff like that. Like it's pretty interesting to hear, like, and then like you saying like, you know, you always want to be a pro like while you were younger. So that's even doper to me. Like you knew it already, like you wanted to do it and then you did it.
Yeah, I was like, this is what I'm going to make my living on, is playing soccer. Like, I was going to figure out whatever kind of game it was going to be, I was going to make it in soccer.
Yeah, that's dope. And then, so after college, you played in the USL, and then you went to indoor soccer. So what was the transition like going from, like, outdoor soccer to indoor soccer?
Yeah, it was crazy. So I got drafted to Charleston, right? So I'm loving Charleston, enjoying it, probably enjoyed it too much where I didn't kind of focus on my football because I thought I was going to make it. I thought I was just going to go there 1 year and then go MLS. Right. So didn't have the best season. They're like, what are you going to do in the off season? I'm like, well, I don't want to work. Right. Cause at the time, right, it was still soccer was popular, but it wasn't making that much money like how it is now. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I don't want to just get a normal job. I just don't want to hang out. I want to go play indoor, right? So a guy, Steve Armstrong, that was on my Charleston Battery team, was playing in Chicago. And then I ended up playing in there with him for a season. I loved it, tore it up, you know, did pretty well. And then I was just kind of like, okay, I'll just play outdoor for what, 8 months, and then play indoor for four, and kind of do that. But I think it was kind of a little bit frowned upon, I'm not going to lie, by my coach, and he thought I wasn't taking my outdoor career serious. They didn't re-sign me. So then I went to Richmond the following year and then played back in Chicago. But the difference, man, it was cool, man. It's I love everything about soccer. Like, I think I'm obsessed with soccer. Any kind of form of soccer, I'll play it. The transition for me was easy, right? Like, I loved it. I played futsal a little bit back in Canada because obviously it's cold. So we had to train a lot indoors. So we didn't have that luxury to, like in the States, to play outdoor all year round, some states. But it was an easy transition for me. I just loved it. I'm very coachable, man. You tell me what to do and I'll do it, man.
So yeah, then you started and you've been there since. You never left.
Yeah. I never left, man. Maybe I shouldn't have did it.
So yeah, like what was the decision to stay in indoor soccer?
Yeah. I think just the immediate success, right? Because, like, I mean, you could score. I mean, outdoor, if you score a goal every couple games, you're a baller, right? But like, I was scoring a goal a game, two goals a game. It was just crazy. I was just all my tools that I was good at really had an impact on the game. Being fast, being small, it didn't have anything negative, right? It was only positives, right? Being quick on the ball, off the ball, making runs and stuff, and again, if you got tired, you could really put all your energy in the kind of like 30 seconds, 40 seconds yeah. jump off, get a break, and then come right back and do it again. So it was just perfect for me. And obviously growing up watching hockey, playing a little bit of hockey was like, it was perfect. Right. So, it was just great. And I loved it. Right. If you miss a shot, it's coming right back. Right. Outdoor, you miss a shot, you got to wait. It's a goal kick. But if you miss a shot, you can get a rebound. So it was kind of just a good look, and it just fit me really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And all right. So I looked up two different stats, so I'm not really sure, but you're at 500 goals, or you're over five, or you're right below 500 goals?
No, I should be over like 500, I think. I don't know. Yeah. I should be over. Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's crazy. So what is that like to have 500 goals?
Yeah, I think there's only like, I believe there's only like three people have done it. I think like Leo and myself and Frank, actually. So yeah, so three people. And I think it could be cumulative points or whatever. But yeah, it's crazy, man, to only have three people have done it. I've done it more. They're just not counting the other leagues that we're in. So I'll be nice. I'll share it with them. But I'm not gonna lie, I think I'm probably on top when it comes to that. But no, it's been good, man. It's a blessing, man, to be in that category with those two players. And then especially in Milwaukee, right? It's a small market a little bit, but they really love their indoor team and they love what we're doing here.
Gotcha. Oh, so there was two different leagues.
Yeah, because people were forming different. So I don't think they counted like, so the MASL, and then they counted the XSL. They didn't count those stuff. So it's kind of crazy. So if you put everything, all the body of work.
Yeah.
I think your boy got him. So that's why I'm going to stay cool. I'm going to stay humble. So
this is why I said, there's two different sets. Cause like on Wikipedia, it's over 500. On this other website, Stat Crew, it's at 485.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows, man, we'll do another special when something happens in the game. So it's funny. We'll just do whatever, man. I'll just be like, what? Whatever.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players? Well, how would you like to work with professional players one-on-one? Now you can with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
All right, you're also the reigning MVP, correct?
No, actually, Nick Pereira. So I was back to
2022. Yeah, I was looking at 2022.
Yeah.
We're in 2023.
Yeah.
But anyways, you have two MVPs. So what's that like to win the MVP?
So that's the craziest part. So like I had some really good seasons where, man, I thought it was going to be me. Obviously, I don't play for that. Like, obviously, I want to win rings. I want to win championships. But when you put the work in, obviously, you want to get those accolades for it. If it doesn't come, you're like, all right. But it's like, man, I put the body of work in the season. And then you just want to be like, oh man, it should have been me a couple of times. But honestly, to going back to back, I think was enough for me. I think that was for the ones I missed or didn't miss. I thought even some of my teammates should have got MVP and they didn't get it. So it was kind of crazy. But I think to be honest, in the COVID year, being MVP of that year, where every team was a powerhouse. I mean, you had like, what, I think we had like eight teams, but like everybody, all the best players, basically, if you could move at the time, you would go play with the team. So now you're going from playing like maybe everyone's got one or two good lines. Everybody had three lines that were good. So to be in that and be the MVP of that league at that time was amazing because every team was stacked. Every team was good. You couldn't take a play off. You couldn't take a shift off. So it was really good. It was really, really high level. And yeah, I made up for all the ones maybe I should have got. So I'm all good, man. I'm at peace.
For sure. Yeah. What was the difference like in the beginning of your career to now? Because it seems like you got better with age.
Yeah. I just worked on my craft, man. I gravitated to some vets and they really told me what I needed to work on. And consistency has always been like my key and always been my plateau. Because again, if you can do something for one or two games, that's great. Right. But if you want to be a pro, a legend, you got to do it for multiple seasons, multiple games and all that good stuff. So I just kept working on my craft. And honestly, like the cliches, man, I was there first and when I practiced, last one to leave, putting the extra work in. And I just did it like that. And, you know, after everybody's chilling out, what I was doing, I was in the gym on the off days, on my rest days. So I was just trying to get my body better, taking care of my body. eating right, sleeping right, hydrating, all that stuff they say to do, man. And it's so simple, but people just don't do it. But it's so important. And that's the biggest thing. It's so simple, but it's just, it takes discipline, right? And mentality, right? Like, that's what it's all about. If you can't do that, you're not going to have that success for a long period. You might have that success for, because your natural given, God-given talent, which is, can handle it for 1, 2, 3 years. But after that, if you want to be a factor in the game, You gotta do things right the right way, man.
Yeah, definitely. And you brought up championships before. Again, these stats I'm not really quite sure, but according to Wikipedia, it's 3 championships.
Yeah, we got 3. I got 3, man.
So yeah, what's the feeling like that to be a champion and MVP?
Yeah, so being a champion, man, it's just all the work you've done. Because I mean, if you played any sports, anybody knows it's like you could have the best team. And stuff could happen with injuries. You just get unlucky. Something happens. Like, it's just a lot of things have to happen to go right for you to win it, man. And I was blessed to have it happen 3 times. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. The first championship, I didn't think we were the best team. I thought we were the more disciplined team. I thought we were hardworking. But talent-wise, I thought we were good. But we were so young to win it. I think it was awesome. I think I got lucky. The second one, we went back to back. I thought we were really good. I thought there was a better team. I think Baltimore was better, but we were good. But we ended up getting that one. And then my third one, I think when Giuliano was taking over, we were a problem, man. No one could handle us, man. We had some Canadians. We had some Americans. We had some veterans. We had some all-stars. It was like the perfect storm. And we got it done, man. And to see and to get Jules his first one was awesome, man. Cause he's a great dude. He's a great coach. So it was awesome, man.
Yeah, that's dope. And then, what is it like? I know you mentioned it too before, you play for Canadian futsal and Canadian beach soccer team. What is that like to put on the national jersey?
So the national jersey is unreal, man. It's heavy. It's a heavy jersey. You don't think people are watching, but man, when you put on a Canada jersey, everybody in Canada is watching, even if they don't even know about soccer. Like you wear that, you put that maple leaf on your chest and on your back, man, it's another level. And it's crazy because like this last one, when we didn't qualify, we were close. I think that's when we were like, I was like, oh, this is no joke, man. Like people were coming out of the woodwork. and they were being honest, right? They were killing some of us. You know, they weren't doing me. I did good. But they're real, man. And I feel their pain, right? They want us because Canadians are always, we're always being nice, right? They always like, oh, the Canadians are super nice. They'll eat their maple syrup. They'll put maple syrup on everything. Like, I get it, right? But now we coming, man. Like, we ain't playing around. Like, we coming for it now. Like, we want to be on that stage. And obviously with the men's national team doing really good, but again, obviously didn't have the best World Cup. Our futsal campaigns coming up, dude, and we got to qualify because that's going to be my last one, obviously. And if I can qualify for one, I'm going to be, I think Canada will be over the moon. I think the people in Canada deserve it. The players from Canada deserve it. Our coaches deserve it because they work so hard. And sometimes we don't have the budget like as the American budget we have. So it would be huge, man. It would be a dream come true if we can qualify for a World Cup in futsal, man. And then beach soccer. Hey, Paul, I'm not going to lie to you. That is the hardest form of soccer, period. I'll put that hands down. Dude, people are flying bicycle kicks. People are doing everything. The sand's over there. You're trying to dribble, man. It's no joke. Like, people chill on the sand. Yeah. Not to play on the sand, but, yo, this is no joke, man. Hey, beach soccer, I loved it. I got to work on my tan. You know, I turned dark chocolate a little bit when I was on the beach. But it's no joke, man. Hey, beach soccer is the real deal. Whoever plays beach soccer, I respect you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, as a, I feel you on the come out because like, as a casual soccer fan, I'd claim myself like when the U.S. like when I see the headlines in the U.S. like gets beaten, they're not supposed to, or they don't qualify. I'm like, what? Like how?
Exactly.
And especially like you just said, like obviously you know the U.S. has way more funding than Canada, so it's like even things like that happen. You know, sometimes it's just like weird to me.
It is.
But are you ready for the 5 Quincy questions? These are going to make you think.
These are from Quincy. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Boy.
What's the most important skill or quality you feel that made you successful as a pro player?
Oh my gosh. That's easy. Actually, That's easy. I think listening, taking in information, and then processing, and then I'm putting that to use 100%.
Yeah, for sure. What's the biggest mistake you think pro players are making?
Oh my gosh. Again, that's another easy one, man. I think they're looking at too much YouTube. They're looking at the skills and tricks and flicks and everything, man. That doesn't make you a pro, man. It's being consistent. Can you play one and two touch? Can you make the right runs? Are you intelligent? Are you using your mind too, and not just your physical assets and stuff? To be a pro, man, it's the intangibles. It's the little things, man, that they got to do and they got to work on. Because once you have all that, no one can touch you, man. If you have the right technique, touches, everything, the other stuff is awesome. But that's going to get you and keep you in the game on another level if you got all those techniques and techers, man, and everything.
Yeah, for sure. What advice would you give a young player trying to make a pro league?
Oh, man, Quincy, man. I thought he was going to hit me with some heart because, you know, Quincy's in depth, man. He's like, he makes you think a lot. So this is good. I was a little nervous for this part. But, no, I think they just got to work, man. Put your head down. Outwork everyone, man. And you'll get there because somebody will see that. The players will see that. The coaching staff will see that. And then they'll be like, okay, we can build on this. So really put the work in. Because if you're a young player and they see, you're lazy, you get that title of being lazy, telling you, man, nobody wants to work with that. Nobody wants to hear that. Even if you're so talented, everybody's like, maybe I'll work with them. But I don't know. If you put that work in and you put your head down and you listen, you come in hungry and that dog mentality, you'll make it, man. I'm telling you, you'll make it. And obviously, you got to have that. You got to have some ability, right? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You got to have some ability. But you'll be fine if you kind of do those things.
Yeah, definitely. All right, these next two could be either you could answer them soccer related or life related. What is something most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Ooh, see, now we're getting into it. Can you repeat that? Let me think about it.
What is something that most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Oh man, that is a good question. Gosh, I don't know. I be like, okay, and actually, you know, I got this. So like people think things happen for just any reason. I think there's a God, right? God's doing it. I think things happen because God puts you in these places. I don't think it's just a random act that it just happens. It's meant to be. I think God's doing it. God's putting and the faith, if you have faith, is putting you on your path, right? He's putting things in your challenges and all that stuff. I don't think things just happen out of the blue and all that stuff where people just think, oh, it's coincidence. I don't believe in that, right? So
yeah, you can't just sit on the couch and get a phone call to go play
pro soccer. Thank you, man. This is what I'm trying to tell people. Why I should just wait. It happens, man. If you put in the work, and good things could happen, you know. So
yeah, for sure. What is something you would move forward with if you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
Oh my gosh. I think that would be everything if you didn't have a family, right? Like if I didn't have kids and stuff, I think I'd be more crazy. I'd be adventurous and doing things, even if it's in like, obviously in the sports world or investing in crazy things or doing stuff crazy, you know, selling my house and maybe traveling the world to see, I don't know, but it's like, once you got kids, like I gotta be a little smart, man. But yeah, so yeah, I don't know about that. That's a little tough, man. But yeah, if you convince me, maybe. I don't know if you put the numbers down, we crunch the numbers, we kind of think maybe, but I'm a little bit of a risk taker, but it's gotta be calculated, right? So
yeah, no, for sure. That makes sense. I'd say at the very beginning, I was about to be like, you know what, you're the MVP of the Quincy questions, but you're definitely up there now. Definitely up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, hey, he hit me because when I met Quincy, man, Quincy is a good dude, but the boy makes me think sometimes. I'm like, yo, I don't want to think right now, but he's so intelligent and I'm like articulate. I'm like, yo, bro, like, yo, say this. We about to play soccer right now. Let me do my thing and then we can talk after. You feel me? So he was like, he was throwing me. But I love him, man. He's a great dude, man.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right, you ready for some fun questions?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
All right. Great debate. Messi or Ronaldo?
Oh, you know. Suey. You know, it's Cristiano. I love Messi, right? But Cristiano he's just built different. The boy, like, he does it all. You know, like, Messi's, like, chill. Like, he's calm, cool, collective. I get it. If you guys like that humble guy, which is great, like, you know, and he's quiet. But Cristiano, bro, like, he's doing everything. He wants to be on that seat. He wants that pressure. That's my guy. That's my guy.
All right, is it football or soccer?
Oh, it's got to be football. It's got to be football, man. Got to be football. It just sounds better. I don't know. Soccer is cool, but, like, football, man.
All right, what's your favorite cheat meal?
I got to stay low-key on this. Like, I mean, maybe they might sponsor me if I tell them after this. I'm not going to lie. McDonald's, man. You know me. I love some Mickey D's. But we got to keep that low. You're not supposed to eat that a lot. But if I have to, like, well, I'm like, the fries.
Well, I got to ask you. You know Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Now I got to ask you, since you said McDonald's, like, what do you think you think when he says all this McDonald's stuff, that he never eats, like, healthy and he always ate McDonald's, you think he's being serious?
Yeah, because Usain did the same thing. Like, dude, I think there's something, like, you're going to laugh at me, but there's got to be something with the chemicals. Something is in that chemical that makes you, like, a beast. Because Usain said he was, like, on McNuggets. He was on chicken McNuggets, like, at that one Olympics. He was just eating nuggets. They're like, what are you eating? Chicken nuggets. Because I don't even know where it was. Maybe he didn't like the food there, but I don't know. Yeah. All I heard, he was eating nuggets, and that boy was running fast. So if he's doing that, I don't know, man. There's got to be something to it, man. There's got to be something to it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on. You were great. And can you let the listeners know where they can follow you at?
Oh, my gosh. Everything. Ian Bennett 26 on my Instagram, Twitter, Ian Bennett 26 on Twitter, all that good stuff. Got to go to my website, though. If you want to cop any of this gear, cheese, any of this gear, 26ianbennett.com. But you can find me everywhere, man. Just let me know. You know, I'm easy to be found, man.
Boom.
Quincy Mariqua here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.